Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You Show. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. Hey, everybody. Hey,
hello.
Girl. Hello. It's Sunday. I know. I did not get the best sleep, so we'll do what we can to get through today's show. So, lots of things going on energetically. I think lots of things are coming to the surface, whether we like it or not. I think it's really a growing period for most of us. We're witnessing so much change just in the world. At large, and how do we choose to process that or not, perceive it or not, what filters are we using? So the conversations we've been having on the air lately have been very interesting to sort of try different things out. You know, when we hear different perspectives from our callers, and, mm-hmm. you know, it makes you look within as well. I find it really fascinating how so much energy is placed on outside forces. Well, if this person would behave a certain way, everything would be fine. Or if this new person swept me off my feet, then I would be happy. And I'm like, well, that, you know, a person sweeping off your feet is a serial killer, I don't know if you're going to really be happy. You know, am I going to meet anyone? Do you want to meet anyone? I'll do anything. Would you really do anything? So, you know, unconsciously, we leave ourselves wide open because it really isn't true. We wouldn't do anything.
Right.
You know, remember those, I never saw them. But just the promos would freak me out. Remember all the Saw movies?
Ooh. Yeah.
And that was all about some puppet telling you to do stuff that you didn't want to do.
I never even knew that much about it. Those were just not movies I would ever look more into.
And why is... No, me neither. It's like, life is scary enough. Like, why pay $12?
Right.
You know? Why is that such a market? Now, what's very interesting, and again, if I was to see any type of movie like that, which I'm not really drawn to, I would consider seeing Get Out because it's making a political statement. And it's not gory, although it is, it's using a particular genre of film to make a very, that's right, she's like, fight the power, to make a very, Black Lives Matter, yes they do, to make a very serious point. And I think that's quite beautiful when you can take a certain genre and repurpose it and then turn it into a new one. I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's original. And to be original, even if I don't like something, if it's original, I respect it automatically.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying, oh, this is an original form of torture. No, torture is torture. But in terms of art, let me just make it, because people be like, well, there's this new gun that came out. Okay, I ain't talking about no gun. So you talk about art, even if I don't like it, if it's original, I have to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. We just, you know, don't want to add more wear and tear than we already have to deal with just functioning.
Right.
You know, It's like you drive the car off the lot, and it's like the value's like, it's like all of a sudden the price is down. You wake up every, and you wake up, you get out the bed. That's like leaving the lot. It's like, psh. Not that I know anything about cars, but that's what I hear.
No, but that's a true statement. That is a true statement.
Right. Depreciation.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get out the bed and live the life and maintain our value?
Mm-hmm.
And not blindly drive off the lot hoping that you don't get a scratch. And I'm sure, I know people who, you know, they have their brand new cars, especially like not even brand new used, like brand new 2017.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny, you know, don't mess up my car. Don't, you know.
I have an aunt on my mom's side.
Uh-huh.
So it's her little sister. And she finally got a new car. Like, she drove this Honda. She had a Honda for like 31 years.
The same car?
Yeah.
She had the same car for 31
years. She was a school teacher, and she really didn't travel. She didn't drive everywhere.
That's
like,
incredible.
You know, she didn't have a kid like me who would have driven it everywhere. So yeah, she had this little, it was like a Honda Accord of some sort. I mean, it was a nice car. I don't know if she bought it new back then. She may not have, but she always had this car, and it had low miles. And the only reason why she got rid of it, it was because there was a flood. So she had to get a new car.
Oh my God. That's
so
really funny.
And her husband, who's a very successful salesman, he was used to having nice cars, because in sales, you know, you have to have that appearance. And actually, he's a good salesman. So he's been pestering her for as long as they've been married. Like, why don't you just go ahead and get a new car? You deserve it. You know, you're already retired from teaching. So, you know, it's not like we can't afford it. Why don't you get a new car? And she was just would not let go of this car. So when she finally had to let go of the car due to an act of God, it took her a while to find the right car. But she got, I mean, I don't even know if I've seen it, because she never drives it. It's like, I think it's like a Mercedes or something like that. It's something, you know, like, wow, if you're going to do it.
She earned it.
Know,
yeah,
it right.
At this stage of the game, she earned
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but I hear these stories from my mom. You know, your auntie finally got a new car. But guess who has to drive? You know, because every so often they'll get together with the other sister and they'll go to like Goodwill, because, you know, that's what you got to do.
Love it.
It's like a girl's day out. We're going to go bargain shopping, and then we're going to get a little bite to eat. And then we're going to go have coffee.
Ain't nothing wrong with going to the Goodwill. I love it.
I know. So they would go to the Goodwill, but my aunt didn't want to drive her car to Goodwill, because she didn't want anyone to, you know, she didn't want to park it anywhere where it got messed up. So my mom's like, so she has a new car, but
that's,
I'm the
really
one still driving.
That is really funny.
That's how that rolls. So I, yeah, there are definitely people who are like, I got something new. I'm going to put it back in its case. Just look at it. Don't touch it.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I mean,
that's her baby.
That's her baby. And I think, I mean, there are extremes to that, obviously. So I have that in my family, and I'll tend to keep stuff forever, you know, not necessarily that it's like, oh, top of the line, but it's like, oh, it's mine, you know, and I'll keep that stuff. I'll keep it generally in pretty good condition. But then I'll realize, wow, everyone's traded up to like a new model in the last, you know, 10 years. And I'm like, well, these don't work. So I totally mm-hmm. get it. But then there are people who get stuff and treat it poorly, like from the beginning.
I
know. Get it. They don't even realize what they have. They toss it around. They leave it behind. You know, they
yep.
drop it a few times.
Yep.
Let other people use it.
Yep.
Gets lost. You know, like, oh, well, I guess I'll just get a new one. I'm like, really? That's
yep.
how that's going to be. Wow. You know,
yep.
Your parents had a heyday with you.
It's that, and or I need the latest and greatest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, I have to get the iPad Pro. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I love my iPad Air, whatever the hell it is. few I guess it's one or two models. I think it's one or two models before this one. Mm-hmm. I don't need an iPhone 7. Like, the 6 is, it's still good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I still have a 5, although I'm tempted to get a Samsung, like a... We have a friend, Kelly, who's in Australia. She's from Australia. And she takes
the
these
pictures.
Amazing photos.
Yes. Did you see the one with the stars?
And And I asked her, I said, what camera are you using? She said, just my phone. I said, what phone do you have? And she said, oh, it's just a Samsung. I'm like, really? I mean, it just, so I'm tempted to switch platforms altogether.
Well, you might want to look at the Google Pixel, because that has unlimited photo storage,
mm-hmm.
and the
mm-hmm.
camera is supposed to be ridiculous. If you're going to be shopping.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's
although,
portable.
Although, you know, you could always download that Google, I think it's like, you can save all your pictures to Google. You can download the app even if you're on an iPhone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not know that. To have unlimited storage?
Yeah.
You mean just a regular Google app?
Uh-huh.
Oh, of course.
I read that recently, so I'll send you the article if I find
Please
it
Please do, yeah. Because I'm like paying $2.99 a month for the cloud. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm paying $1.99 or something. It's not much, but I think my phone is just, it's run down. It's like, you kind of maxed out all your stuff, you know.
With all the BS that you've been going through with Apple, you're like, you know what? It's like we talked about.
Yeah.
See, it's like, I'm the consumer, and you're not really supporting me.
You know, I finally
did you figure it out?
My Apple ID password reset. I finally, like, within the last few days.
Oh, you did?
An email finally came in. Crazy.
Took forever.
It did. It took, so I sent my very first request in December 21st or something.
I know.
Like that.
That's crazy. So, see what happens? So you're kind of like looking at other options.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she does take really beautiful pictures, and she's on a journey. She don't think she listens to us anymore, but she used to be a listener.
Mm-hmm.
All of us go back from Source Energy Radio days, so that's many years ago. But we can see what she's up to through Instagram, and she changed her handle recently, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It originally was it Journeying to Me?
Yeah.
And now it's Sunsets and Sunflowers.
Yeah.
But that's, and again, these are Instagram handles, and you think about even just a few words tells a story.
Mm-hmm.
Journeying to Me. Okay, 3 words. Clearly someone looking within on a journey to self-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to Sunsets and Sunflowers, which I think is very poetic if you think about, well, that really is day and night. Or night and day.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, night and
mm-hmm.
day.
Night and day, right.
Night and day.
Right.
Sunsets and sunflowers, night and day. And I thought, that's very interesting. And she's found a way. You know, financially, it's like, girl, how you doing it? She's found a way to go all over the... Australia is a continent and a country, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Exploring the continent/country of Australia, camping, talking about hearing the little critters. I'm like, oh, my God. And one picture that when you said, that her, you know, you asked her about the camera, the phone, the camera, I could totally see that you love to take pictures. You love to take pictures on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
she takes stunning pictures. And the one that really struck me was the recent one where it was, she was camping someplace. I think she's by herself. And I'm like, what? I think she's by herself. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm guessing she's by herself. She may not be.
Yeah. No, she is. I mean, unless she meets some fellow campers, you know. But no, she decided to do this, you know, to take time out for a year or however long it's going to take to drive around the continent, drive around the country.
Right. That's amazing.
So.
Yeah. So she's by herself, and she took a picture of the night sky, and you could really see how bright the stars are.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because the stars must be like, I would feel like I was at the planetarium because I'm sure I've never seen stars like that for real.
she's in the country, you know?
Like,
yeah,
there's
no ambient light.
There's no pollution. There's no buildings. She just has her phone. And you could only imagine the magnificence that she was able to capture. So that was a good basic camera phone. And she captured it. So, something to look at.
Yeah.
But, wow. Good for her. Yeah, I didn't know what the plan was for her. I'm sure there was a description, and I don't remember what it said, but that she was going to take this time to just. I don't know if she's the points are planned out or how she has her destinations sorted out. But
yeah,
beautiful pictures. Yeah.
As soon as she started, I mean, I talked to her when she changed her handle.
Oh, you did.
To begin with, I'm like, oh, what's going on with that?
Yeah.
And this is from you know, her married. She had a married name, and then she went back to her old name.
Right.
And that's when I said, let me message her.
Yeah.
And so I mean, and so she and her husband, who are still really good friends, decided it was time to move on. For the last few years, she and her husband have been living kind of like, you know, off the land, off the grid. Like he.
Right.
They had a farm. Yeah. It was a retreat. I mean, it was whatever. I would say 95% of the stuff they had to eat, they grew themselves, including meats, including like livestock and things like that. So she loved it. She said it was hard work, but she loved it. And it really helped her, you know, spiritually as well, to grow connected to the land that way.
Right.
And to the animals and to everything. And she just said, you know, we just reached a point where I think it's like, it's time for me to, I think she wanted to take time out to really, kind of reconnect then with her family, because they don't always live near, they don't stay near her. So it was like, I feel like it was more, had to do more of some loose ends from her life previous to when she got married. But they're all connected. So so she let everything go. I don't know how she got this little RV camper thing.
Yeah.
You know, her husband helped her out. She got that. And so, you know, there's a lot of questions because I don't know how things work in Australia, but she did a lot of, I guess she knows where to go for fruits and vegetables and things like that. So she's camping. I mean, she's roughing it in a way. And I guess saving whatever money she may have, if it's some stuff that, you know, make from gas or whatever. But, she said she was going to visit family around the country, and then, but also explore the country. So maybe she's timing it, or, you know, planning it where if she knows somebody in that part. But, you know, Australia is really, really big. That's like me saying, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to drive around the United States, but I'm going to do it by, you know, staying in close proximity to friends and family along the way. Now, I could probably do that in certain, like, you know, on the coasts, you know, definitely down the East Coast and in the South. And in some of the big cities, but probably we would have to really connect it all the way around the country, the way she's done it. But yeah, she has some amazing photos. I mean, every photo she's been taking, just drawn to it.
You're beautiful, yeah.
And but I mean, between me and Anna, like, she'll usually do, like, a messenger, you know, either Instagram messenger or Facebook messenger. If you want to touch base with her, she'll usually have a chance to reply back if she has cell service. So I get
she
it.
Has,
you know, sometimes it's
service.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that. But I'm obviously that speaks to me to be able to do something like that and just do it the way she's done it, the way she, because she knows how to work the land. She knows how to, you know, she knows what it means to grow something, and she knows what to look for, you know, if it's out in the wild, because there are people who train for that kind of stuff, you know, like survivalist kind of living and knowing the terrain well enough to know, okay, well, that's edible. So if I really need something to eat, I can eat that.
I'm like, is that a Whole Foods or a Trader Joe's? Meanwhile.
Yeah, right.
She's like, this is a chaga mushroom, which is not poisonous, but this other mushroom. I'm like, girl. Is it on sale? And I'm like, you got a coupon?
You're like, I brought my own bag that I get a discount for that.
Yeah, exactly.
So
5 cents a bag.
Yeah. Oh yeah, God. So she will gather. And if you notice, if you look at some of her posts, depending on which state she's in, you can't cross state lines with produce sometimes.
Oh, right.
So she had to kind of like, I don't know if she just delayed her trip to go to the next state because she didn't want to get rid of all this, you know, fruit, you know, or vegetables that she had gathered because she forgot about that. She forgot about the restriction of traveling between state lines. So I'm sure I would have just said, oh, I'll just hang out here for, you know, till I'm done and then go over, you know,
right.
Go over the border. But yeah, I'm always following, you know, she's been super nice. You know, we have some really good conversations when I'm actually able to touch base with her through Messenger. But it is an incredible journey that she's taking.
Please say hi from me the next time you guys are communicating. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool.
Well, we do have a hand raised.
Okay. It's Kelly. No,
that'd be kind of cool. No, it's Tessa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Good. Speaking of Instagram, Tessa's Instagram is wonderful, and she's been showing a lot of her artwork, and I love the piece that was sold recently. Is that, I think, Jackie Robinson?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Ooh,
yeah.
You. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then she probably had, like, superimposed sold. I'm like, yes. And before even, you know, it was marked as sold, I said to myself, wow, that is a really beautiful piece. I mean, they're all beautiful, but that one I really liked. So I'm not surprised that it got sold. Anyway, how are you? We haven't talked to you in a little while.
I know. I'm doing well.
Good.
It's crazy when I was listening to you talk about the lady that's in Australia. I went to her handle and looked at her pictures. And
oh, Kelly,
the one with the night sky was beautiful.
Wasn't it?
How you talking about, it was just something, you said something about living off the land, and I had a dream last night that I was farming. Like I had started farming, because I haven't gotten into now, like, I'm trying to do my own little backyard garden and stuff
nice.
Like that. But in my dream, my crops were coming up. Like, I had wheat and cauliflower and
that's
all kinds
beautiful.
Of little vegetables. And then I woke up this morning and I was drawn to do a meditation about like self-love and stuff like that. And then I pulled cards and was saying the same thing, and then it tied back to, in a dream, it was just saying something like new beginnings, you know, being, you know, self-reliant and stuff like that. So it just, I don't know, it's just the synchronicity of, like, the conversations about somebody totally different from myself, but it's all, like, tying together about, like, what I'm currently, you know, experiencing.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't have much to complain about. I don't.
Well, that's,
I mean, I had
that, that's
to realize,
good. That's normal.
And so it's. I was telling my mom the other day. because we were talking, I watched the Khalifa Barber store. I don't know if you've seen that, about the boy in New York that he was at Rikers, and basically he was in there for no reason. Like he was in Rikers for 3 years for nothing, and he ended up committing suicide when he got out.
Yeah.
Two or three years later.
Yeah.
So I was just watching that, and I'm coming to find out now that I can't watch much like stuff like that like anymore, because it makes me.
Oh, you just want to die.
I went through a whole series of emotions watching that.
Yep.
And I was like, Mama, how are you supposed to like help that? Like, how are you supposed to fix that? Because, you know, I'm coming to realization, you know, my purpose on earth and what I'm supposed to be. You know what my purpose is. And how I'm supposed to help. And I was like, if love is the highest vibration, like how do you get love into situations like that? I'm like, because the videos I'm seeing up here, it's like these people are far from that, and I don't know how I'm supposed to help that. And I was crying, and I went from happy to sad. My mom was seeing me cry, everything, and I was like, see, this is what I mean. Like, I feel like I'm going crazy.
No.
And she was like, well, Contessa, you know, you're going to be able to help others how you're supposed to help them. You may not reach everybody. You can't, you know.
That's why for you to take on.
Yeah, you can't take on everything. You just got, you know, tend to what you're supposed to tend to. And so I was like.
She's right.
I'm like, I don't know what that's supposed to be. And so, like, this week it's been, like, coming all together. And then that dream last night kind of.
Yeah.
And like, okay, it's happening, Tessa. You're not gonna quite know everything.
Just leave it.
But
just leave it.
It's happening.
Just leave it. Just leave it. You're not used to feeling like this. Like the fact that you said I have nothing to complain about. Like complaining is normal. There's something wrong because you're not complaining. So no, that's good.
Yeah, I'm not.
Listen. You have to allow your consciousness, and how that's manifested in the physical experience is in rewiring your brain. So do you see how the fact that you said, I have nothing to complain about, and then you go right to, I don't know what my purpose is, and then I feel overwhelmed. So it's like you're punishing yourself because you can't save the world.
That's the feeling.
I know. So you have to rewire your brain, and your mother's right. You tend to what you tend to. So for your little garden that you have out back, for your household, for your son, and you have the best platform of all, and your purpose is to create beautiful art and be loving to yourself. And to your child and to your household. That's it. That's it. All of this BS is an illusion anyway, which is the hardest thing to swallow.
It is.
So if you know that, then why are you trying to make your illusion bigger than it is? It's painful enough. It's painful enough, so to focus on what's good. And your dream, it's symbolic of your growth. You're living off the land is like you're living off of the evolution of your soul, finally. So why are you going to sabotage that by, you know, it's not enough? Well, no, it's more than enough. You can't go from being depressed about the small stuff to being depressed about the world without allowing, it doesn't make sense, allowing your harvest to come in that your dreams are telling you. And you're selling your artwork. You're in a peaceful environment. Remember, it wasn't that long ago that you were not in a peaceful environment or a place where you felt wanted. So I'll just turn it over to Elisa because I ain't nothing from nobody.
No, I think she's letting it sink in.
No, I'm joking.
I think, you know, like that's that capacity to feel. I mean, obviously that's going to continue to expand because we got a bunch of sensitive people here, and that's not a bad thing. It just means that we're aware even more so of how things are functioning in the world, or maybe not functioning in the world. And you also have to remember, you know, this is also, even if it's a documentary or if it's, you know, just something, you know, on Netflix or whatever, there's still a perspective, you know?
Right.
There's still some filters, or you're still limited by that perception. And that's all that is. I mean, it's a compelling story. And it's, you know, not to say, oh, it's the same thing as Shawshank Redemption, but you know, there are similar stories in terms of, you know, when you're in a situation where you feel very restricted, and then you're imagining how that would feel, you know, for 3 years, for 30 years or whatever. And then the whole time, you know, you're not supposed to be there. So I have no doubt we have had lifetimes where that has been has been the case, where we've been wrongly persecuted for something, you know, for something either that we didn't do or that is not harmful, but we were perceived as a threat. And then the aftermath of being out of that environment, that restrictive environment, and not being able to come to terms with, you know, what's happened, how you are now, how you're treated now. I mean, that's intense. I mean, that's so you're going to feel something, but then, yeah, then when you decide to take into that default setting of how do I fix it, and how do I prevent it for everybody else, it is overwhelming, overbearing, and can kind of lead you to the same sense of despair that this person that you heard the story about, you saw the story about. So, yeah, our sensitivities are very much heightened, and I mean, being able to feel that, but then realize, okay, you know, that's my connection. I needed to experience that. But now what do I do? Not what do I do with it, but
right.
Now what do I want to do? Because, you know, what are the choices in front of me to move the next day? Sort of the same question that Liz was asking, like, how do we get up every day? How do we get up every day? Just get out of bed and not feel like, oh my gosh, you know, I got to put my boxing gloves on. I got to, you know, put on my armor. I got to do all these things, because that's heavy. And I know there are days when we feel like that, but obviously the point is to not have that be that feeling every day. Because as sensitive beings, we're going to monitor. We're going to know.
Yeah.
Like, that feels weird. That feels off. But with you, Tessa, what you're finding is, as you're changing that some of the things that you're used to doing, like, it's so subtle that you're starting to put some things out there. And then sometimes people like us will come along and say, well, you know, we're going to catch you on this one, because look, nothing to complain about, but let me find something now that I can kind of
despair.
On the same vibration.
Yes. You went from complain to despair. And Elisa, you know, you made such a valuable point about, perspective, the POV of what kind of touched you, Tessa.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it touched many, many people. So if they're going to, it's a ripple effect. If they're going to respond to take care of their own, then it's going to add up exponentially. And then it's not for you to take it all
on myself.
And it just was. And you were, as you were talking, Elisa, it made me realize, I actually forgot about it when I was talking to you, Tessa. I just want to say this, and Elisa, I want to hear the rest of what you have to say. So yesterday was a very gloomy, rainy, cold day, and I did a lot of walking. And on the corner, I saw a mom, and she was with her daughter, who must have been 9 or 10 years old, and they were not. They didn't appear to be homeless or in dire straits, but something must have happened. But they did not seem to be you know, right out of the shelter or whatever. They did, I didn't get that appearance. In any event, they're sitting, and it's cold, icy rain. Okay, the mother and the daughter, and again, the mother didn't seem like she was drinking or on drugs or anything. It just seemed like an average, you know, middle class white mom and daughter. Like you just wouldn't, you know, and her little goose down jacket and whatever, the little hat with the pom pom on it, on the corner in the rain, with some sign which I didn't read, and I'm like, okay. I get, like, if, you know, if something's going on and you need to do whatever, so you're going to be out in the rain sitting down with the cardboard sign. But your daughter is there with you. And when I see somebody and they're dragging their child into that situation of asking for money or being sitting on the street, or I lose my mind. And I'm thinking, where's Child Protective Services? I actually have made calls in the past. Not knowing what to do because that makes me crazy. Like, don't bring the kids into it. Mm. And what I do to cope, because like you see, you know, we're so sensitive. Like Elisa had just pointed out, like, what do you do with that? So what I do, I always have a Ziploc with a dollar bill and a granola bar in it. I have between 1 and 3 in my bag, or sometimes I just have one on me, you know, individually, and I always have it on the outside so if I just know I'm led to just give it to whoever. So I'm like, well, I call it my blessing bag. I'm like, I know who's going to get my blessing bag, because I see a kid, I'm like, I'm losing my mind. And I never stop. It's kind of always in mid-step. I just say, this is for you, and I keep it. I don't look for a thank you. I don't look for I don't look for anything. I just give it, and I keep it moving. And it took a minute for me to sort of work through that. Like, I was actively looking for a cop or a cop car, and of course I see one cop car and I look in the window, there's no cops in the freaking car, you know, where's a cop when you need one? And and looking, and it's raining, and I'm thinking about this little, you know, 8-9-year-old girl and whatever was going on with her and the mother, and I'm like, well, I don't want to call 911 because I've done that before, and that's a whole thing. And you know, I just thought, well, if I'm meant to report this, there will be a cop. And if there was a cop that I would run into, I would say something. But, of course, there wasn't, and I just had to let it go. And I let it go to the point that I didn't remember the story until something Elisa said to you reminded me. And that was just yesterday.
Wow.
So I'm just saying this to you that – in doing something so small, in my consciousness, it could be as if I was feeding the whole world. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because it's like that mustard seed Bible thing. You know what I'm saying? So if you find, whether it's random acts of kindness or something manageable, see, that's manageable. I can have a Ziploc with a granola bar and a dollar bill in it and to give it to whoever's going to get it whenever I'm out. You know, once a day, and then one. You know, and I'll have, if I have more than one. Okay, I met my quota, or not. Sometimes it could be a couple of days that I'm just not intersecting with anybody because I'm not looking for it. The opportunity will find itself, and I give my blessing bag out and I keep it moving and I forget about it. But at least it's my little part, so that I had to do something to not be in that place of despair that you're in, and that's why I share that. So at least I'm going to bring it back to you. I'm sorry about that, but I just had to mention that.
No, it's okay. Because I thought about making my friend, she just started doing those. Like, she lives in New York as well, and she makes blessing bags, like, with toothbrushes, healthy snacks and stuff like that.
Yep.
I don't know if she puts money in it or not, but she makes like several blessing bags. And I was like, you know, I can do that here in Savannah as well. And, you know, even
there
for some of the kids where I sub at, because a lot of them, you know, are homeless.
There you go.
Or, you know, I think that's where, like I was telling my mom, like with me subbing, I see a lot more than from the outside looking in, especially like with parents and, you know, other, you know, adults, whatever, we look at these kids and we're like, oh, they're so bad. They need more discipline and this. I'm like, no, they don't.
They're not bad.
Like, I'm like, oh, when I'm around those kids, even the ones who are the most difficult to deal with, they just want attention. They don't care how they get it. They don't care if it's bad or good. They just want attention. And I'm like,
nurturing.
It's not bad. They just want somebody to you talk to.
Right.
And I've had several kids come talk to me about really heavy, deep stuff. And I'm just like, God, what? Because, you know, when you hear it, I'm like, you want to help. You want to, you know, help them get to a good space. But you know, it's a lot to, you know, kind of take on because.
Yeah.
I got to learn how to protect myself, even from children, from dumping their.
Well, you have to clear your energy.
Stuff on me.
Well, the children are not. You know, you're so sensitive as we all are. Just, you know, finding a way of clearing the energy. You know, even get a salt packet and wash your hands with salt. You know, when you're done with the day, sage yourself when you get. I mean, there are things that you can do. You know, you can ask for protection. You know. And this way you sort of clear yourself so that you can be of service. But, yeah, the answer is already there. And what's, you know, and with that, the sadness and all that, it's the good. Like, I'm so happy you shared that about your friend here in New York. And the other day I was so taken where I saw this guy who had, like, a little tool belt around him, and it had barber supplies, and he was having such a beautiful conversation with the homeless man on the street as he was giving him a haircut.
Oh, wow.
And it was so beautiful. Yeah. And he was talking to him. He could have been in a fancy barber shop, the way that they were just having that human connection. And I said, thank you, God, for allowing me to see this beautiful moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that was wonderful.
Those are different ways. You just heard all these different ways of doing what you can. Like, you know, Liz, you've been big about, you know, you figure out a way to address something that you saw, and you knew you could put this stuff together, and you're out and about, and you have a way to do it. I also have friends here in Atlanta. There's one in particular. She will go out, and she's a hairdresser. She'll go out and she'll cut hair for homeless people. So you're right. I mean, Tessa, all the things you just talked about, just you being present with these kids who sought you out.
You're doing it.
That's your way of contributing.
Acknowledge that,
Tessa, your way.
You're doing it.
So
then you don't feel despair.
It's never that feeling, well, it was just these kids. It's not enough to change the world. But you have no idea.
You're changing the world.
How much that has meant to that one kid or those kids. You never know how that time spent after class, during school, how that changes them in little ways. But it does change them because, as you said, need some attention. They need someone to be able to talk to.
Right.
And maybe you can't do that all the time. You know, 24/7, you can't be the replacement parent, but you can be one of those people that they know they can go to. And that gives them a little bit more of their humanity back when they have that connection. So, yeah, don't discount that, but count it. Count it for something. Just know that whatever you're doing, when you're doing it, that's what you could give. And that is enough. That is enough for now. And when you find other ways, then you'll figure it out. But the obsession to try to do more, you know, it's like for us, it'll never, you're never going to be done. You're never going to
be
done.
Enough,
you know? So it'll never be enough. But enough is not what you're trying to go for. And that, like, I gotta fix all the problems. It's not, you know, when you say it that way, you're like, yeah, that's kind of crazy. You know, because, you know, you're not thinking about it in those terms. But all those little things when we don't acknowledge or we don't do those, you know, we don't see what our value is, just to be present and being okay with that and really feeling like, wow, okay. So sometimes people pay you a compliment and we don't really bring it in. We don't take it in. Well, you know, whatever. And then it's like, no, really, I need you to hear this.
Right.
It's important.
Right.
So allowing yourself to take it in, and it's not about, oh, I was such a good person. Like, oh, I tithed on Sunday. I gave money, and, you know, or I did this. It's not even that. It's just acknowledging the difference that you, they're telling me think about the difference it made to you to sit down and talk to these kids because they asked for your attention. And it made you feel good to say, oh, yeah, you know, or it made you feel good to come away with that, understanding the bigger picture of what's happening. Like, some people, again, perspective, some people will see those kids as the troublemakers. They need to be more disciplined. And you're like, no, they just need attention. They need positive reinforcement. They need other role models to show them there's a different way. And they need it, you know, as constantly and consistently as possible. And, you know, you're only there. You're subbing every so often. But now they know they can identify you as a presence. So it's not so much because when people call into the show and they want to ask about somebody else, like, we can only go so far, right? Because they're not the ones asking. The other people, that other party is not the one asking. It's through the filter of the person who is asking. So the same thing, you know, you can want so much for this, for these other people, for these children, but your connection is really whatever you can do, you know, for them or for people like them. But you can't ask, well, is it enough? Is that enough? Is that enough? Can I? Do you feel okay now? Is that enough?
It's a point that you're not
enough. You can't
enough.
Really.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And
you're doing great.
With this whole conversation, it just brings back, because I'm looking at the cover of my card. And I was like, it's still being a light worker, doing my part, and actually just taking that title and understanding, like, yes, Tessa, you are sensitive, and it's okay. Like, it's okay to, you know, have compassion, and it's not a burden. It's more so a job. Like, not even a job. It's something I like to do, because I was telling my sister, like, I've always liked helping people, and I never, you know, until recently, you never understand really why. And sometimes, like, I'll do something, like, with TJ. Like, one day we was going to the grocery store, and this guy and his dog, and we were leaving out the grocery store, and he didn't ask for anything. On his little board, he didn't ask for anything. He was just like, whatever you can give. And so I had just bought oranges, bananas, and all that, and I had a plastic bag in the car, and I just gave him some stuff out of it. And I gave it to him. TJ was like, Mama, why are you giving him food? He was like, because he was ready to eat the bananas that I had gave him. And he was like, why are you giving him the bananas? I want the banana. I was like, just telling him, you know, like, helping people. He was like, so, you know, that's our job. Our job is to help people. And I was like, yeah, pretty much. Our job is to help people, make other people happy. And he was like, I can handle that.
Well, right there, that you're contributing just by raising a beautiful, sensitive son.
Yeah, so he said that, and just like I said, let's talk about this, makes me think about that. He said, I can handle that. Like, he didn't look at it as something crazy, heavy, or anything.
Because it's
like,
not.
It's pretty easy. So
yeah.
I'm just, I guess, like,
there you go.
I'm calling, talking to you guys, but when I do, it just brings so much clarity, and I get all these little thoughts unjumbled in my head because I help so much. So,
good.
But I'm doing good. Like I said, I can't complain. I'm doing good.
Well, you don't need to even have the word complaint come out your mouth.
Yeah, and it's like I said, like, my art and stuff, I'm very happy with that.
Beautiful,
yeah. And like I said, things are falling together. And I'm
Tessa, give out your Instagram handle so people can take a look at your artwork and follow you.
My Instagram handle is XOXO_Contessa, CONTESSA.
There you go.
And follow me, and I will follow back.
There you go. a little cross promotion on the Some of You show. All right. Well, yeah. There's no reason to have the word complain in your sentence or whatever. So just eliminate that word from your vocabulary. It's not necessary. And you're doing great. So just own that. And keep it moving. And we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye,
love
beautiful.
Love you.
Love you. Hug that Teddy
so
Graham.
Good.
Hug that Teddy Graham.
It's so good. I mean, and that's what's interesting. And I don't know, we've talked to her about this before, but as we start being more in touch with really what's happening and you know, acknowledging these sensitivities and things like that, we do start changing how we speak. Either,
yeah.
You know, not only how we speak out loud, but also our inner monologue. So, and you're starting listening to how other people respond too, or how they talk about themselves. So that phrase, you know, I can't complain. It seems harmless enough.
But think about it. I can't complain. Like there's something wrong with you that you should be complaining.
Right.
Like I can't complain. Like I can't win.
Normally I could complain, but
yeah.
Now I can't.
Right.
So it's a little different. It's like one of those phrases that people are used to saying. I had a coworker years ago, my corporate job, I'd hear him, we were all in cubicles, and I'd hear him say, oh, I'm such an idiot.
Right.
You know, when he made a mistake, he would
right.
say that out loud. I'm such an idiot.
Yep.
Like, wow. This is one of the, he's an incredibly intelligent man, very sharp. And that's just how he spoke. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting
mm-hmm.
that, you know, like it's so easy. It's so easy to say. And so easy to repeat that it doesn't seem like it has any meaning, but in a sense, you're sort of reinforcing some things subconsciously that kind of allow you to consider anything you do like you're an idiot. And you think about programming in every sense of the word. Probably people around him, maybe how he grew up or people he hung out with afterwards, they all probably said the same kind of thing. I have a brother who's kind of talks about food, like if it's just like lunch food and it's something he brought from home or it's leftovers, he's like, yeah, I'm going to choke this down and then we're going to get to
oh
work because he's always so busy.
And he
says that and like I just kind of cringe like, oh,
ooh.
You know, like, no wonder, like I wouldn't want to eat that food,
no.
You know, or he'll label it, you know, piece of crap or whatever. I mean, it's interesting
mm-hmm.
the things that we think of as, oh, it's so casual. And, yeah, it's just a phrase. But look at all the words we have at our disposal, and that's what you want to use.
Right.
Those are the words you would choose. That's the words you would choose to talk about yourself. Those are the words you choose to talk about things that are supposed to nurture you, you know, and to fuel you up.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Damn.
You start to change it. I mean, and it's so extreme at times because, you know, and people say it all the time, especially if you, you know, those of you who work that 9-to-5 and you're in an office environment, that's a lot of people kind of hanging out and they just say stuff and they're not aware. They're just not aware, probably because their favorite TV characters say this. That's how they talk. And
mm-hmm.
you have these little catchphrases. But there was an author whose name was Don Miguel Ruiz. He does
yes.
the Four Agreements.
Yes.
And one of them is be impeccable with your word.
Right.
it's very interesting. And so those are extremes. But there are other phrases that you'll hear it. I mean, I'll catch myself at least once a day for something that I've said out loud. And I'm like, you know, it's like my people are reminding me, hey, remember when you just said that? How did that feel? Just checking in. How did that feel? I'll play it back in my head. I'm like, ooh, yeah, that was not the vibration I was going for. So I'll catch myself, and it's not like I got to beat myself up for it, but it's like, okay, I get it. They're just wanting me to be more purposeful because we can get into our routines. And we have certain things we always do, certain things we always say, certain ways we always look at things. That when something disrupts that, and so in my case, like I got my people replaying certain phrases I've said throughout the day,
mm.
and then just checking in, like, is that true? You know, how does that feel? So then I'm like, note to self, no, that's not how I feel. That's
yeah.
what I meant was this.
Right.
So I have to do that throughout
yep.
the day.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah.
Wow, that's deep.
It is. I mean, it's interesting because the words that we use, that carries energy. You know, the words that we use,
yep.
whether we say them in our heads or we say them out loud, they do carry energy. And there are things that you can say. You can pick like the most seemingly harmless words, and you put them together, and they become. And depending on how they're delivered. They could be very powerful messages of hate, you know.
Yeah.
They have power within them. So we have to be able to choose them if we're going to start wielding our words a certain way.
Yep. It's responsibility.
It is being, and that's the ultimate sense of accountability for what you are creating in part with your words and with your thoughts. So
absolutely.
Good stuff there.
girl.
It is deep stuff because I think of it a lot. What did I just say? What did I just say?
Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, it's one thing if you're just accountable for yourself, but if you are responsible for others, you know, that's a lot. Like that mom I saw, I don't know what was, what the hell was going on. I didn't even want to look down and read the cardboard. Like, I didn't even want to deal with the story. I just thought, this is just not computing. Why are you out in the rain with your daughter?
Right.
And they were reasonably well-dressed. Like, what was...
Yeah, and already there are all these different scenarios where, well, you know, that's, you know, that's marketing. That way, you know, people are drawn to the kid, and you know, so there's all that. So it's a little like, but then you can put that parallel to what Tessa did with her son in giving some food
right
to this homeless guy, and him asking about that, and that, you know, sort of leading by example, teaching why she did what she did, what that impact is, and him putting in a perspective saying, oh, if that's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
So he'll be refining that thought for a while. And I don't know what this daughter is going to be
thinking
from that whole situation.
That's the complete opposite.
Right.
Yes.
Right. It's, well, this is what we have to do to get by.
Yeah,
this is what we have to do to get by.
I'm thinking, and again, this looked like a middle-class mom and a middle-class daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, what? What could create that extreme act? I mean, it was icy rain.
Right. Right.
You're sitting on the street. You're both reasonably well dressed. I don't know what the hell was written on that cardboard, and I'm thinking, there's not going to be enough therapy to, like, help this little girl.
Mm.
So is she being taught, well, you know, you need something, go on the corner. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was.
And that, unfortunately, is how many, many storylines have played out. I mean, we've talked a lot on the show about the exploitation of youth.
Right.
Throughout history, there have been choices that people have made, and we don't always know the circumstances behind it or around it, for people to be in the situations they're in. It usually doesn't happen overnight. It's usually very small things, small decisions
right.
along the way.
Right.
So you just don't know, but it's interesting that I know for you, because anything having to do with kids,
I lose my mind. I could have dealt with it
totally
better if it was a nice sunny day. Like, even the regular homeless people, they're not stupid. They're not going to be out. You know,
right.
What was wrong with this woman? Like, even the people that, like, the streets, like, that's their house. That's where they live, you know, outside. They weren't even out there. She was out there. Like, it just made no sense.
Right.
Yeah. And when there is a kid involved, I go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very odd.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's a baby, then I just want to, you know, leave the earth. That's the hardest one for me to recover from. When I see somebody out there with, then I actually make a call. I've done that a couple of times where I've called 911 because I can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and there are situations there where that I've seen, like when I visited the Philippines, which is silly with how, you know, if you're really rich, you know, you're really rich, but if you're really poor, you know, there's no middle class, really, seems to be in the city, at least. It's like you're either living in these mansions, but the people just outside your walls are living in the ditch, you know, right outside your walls.
Yeah.
And And to be to grow up in a Filipino family where there's so many of us, and what I saw growing up was that we took care of each other, you know, intergenerational.
Right.
You know, you drop off kids. Kids are never left alone. They're not going to daycare. Daycare is at your aunt's house or your grandma's
right.
house or whatever.
Exactly, right.
So that's the culture I grew up in here in the States. Now, to go to the homeland
right.
and see homeless people or
yes.
people that I would consider homeless, they're, you know, they don't look like they have a home because they're washing their kids and themselves in the ditch
right.
across the street from a hotel.
Right.
I'm looking at that like this doesn't make any sense
Thank
to me.
You.
Don't they have? I know they have family.
Right.
I know they have family. They have to have somebody. This is a
right.
nation of everybody's related to everybody. So somebody's got
right.
somebody. You
right.
know? And that's what didn't make any sense to me.
Right.
And I was just looking at that like, when do I go home? when do
yeah.
I go home?
I'm like, God bless America.
That works.
Yeah.
Right.
You visit a third world country, you become patriotic real quick.
Right.
Real quick.
Right.
I've been
right.
to, you know, several countries in Latin America because of family and all of that, like you. And I would see the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where did all these dogs come from, and what, et cetera. The same thing. So, you get patriotic real quick. Like, we have it really good in this country,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the madness. Go ahead.
We do have one hand raised. I know we're after time, but I think I know who this is. Hello? Hello?
Okay, well, they're not responding, no. and we actually have to wrap it up. So, if
yeah,
you
okay.
guys need to
Bye.
Get a hold, yeah, if you guys need to get a, no, seriously, if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Wonderful conversation as always.
Mm.
So thank you for that. And in
thank
the
you.
And in the meantime, remember to
follow
the
feeling
to you. Have a great day, everybody. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
That you like it.